All right, then, setting up our third hour. As always, a lot to get done in this third hour. I'm Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We are efforting Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse. We are efforting PGA Tour golfer Bryson DeChambeau. I'm efforting my own thoughts on how you can be on the show on Friday, even if you don't call the program. In fact, you can become a producer. You can create content. You can get onto the show on Friday. Also, I want to talk about He Hate Me. They found him. That story looked like it was getting up really badly. Rod Smart, former NFLer and XFLer, disappeared for the better part of a week, and nobody could find him. It seemed like it had bad news written all over it, but then he was found. So that in and of itself is really good news. Let me at least start as I'm looking for Nick Nurse. Let me tell you about how you can get on the program on Friday. Now, you can get on the show by calling the program. That'd be one way to do it. But you have to be in it to win it. You have to be invited. I want to tell you how you can create some content. The way to create content is to do this. Are you on social? If you're on social, you should find your way to the Instagram. SmackOff 25 is now just 2 days out. 2 days until we find out who is going to win the silver anniversary and win the biggest event in sports talk radio. We know the field is set. We know the odds are up. The players have already been profiled. The storylines have all been laid out. There is nothing to do but to do it. Yesterday, I asked you on the air and on Twitter, how are you setting it up? What does your Friday look like? And we'll get back to that momentarily. But, as promised, we were efforting, and now we have found him. The head coach of the Toronto Raptors. First season as Raptors head coach. He was an assistant with the Raptors since 2013. He was the 2011 D-League Coach of the Year. He led Toronto to 58 wins in the regular season and led them to their first NBA championship in team history. We are joined by the coach, Nick Nurse. Nick, it is so good to have you on. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you today?
Nick, I'm great. You and I spoke in July shortly after you were hired. I've got to ask, Nick, what was the last year of your life like, and has it been what you expected it to be?
Exactly. Exactly how we planned it, right. Jim, to be honest. No, it was great. I think we got off to a good start. Thought we had a team that could contend, you know, at least knock at the door and make some noise in the East and hopefully get a shot at the finals. And I think we just kept getting better, made a couple acquisitions, got into the playoffs and started playing really well and kind of ball bounced our way a little bit. So we come out of there with the title. So it was a hell of a ride.
Hell of a ride. I got to ask, I mean, you are Nick Nurse from Carroll, Iowa. You played your college ball at Northern Iowa. As you and I have talked about, you coached in places like Granville University, in Great Britain, in the Belgian League, in the D-League. You are now an NBA champion. Does it all feel real at this point?
Parts of it do, Jim. I mean, you know, I think in the games and going through the run, it was, you know, pretty much like a lot of the other ones. I know that sounds silly. Obviously, a lot more eyeballs and media and all that stuff, but the games and the prep and getting a bunch of guys to play hard and, you know, develop chemistry and, you know, hang in there when things didn't go our way and just keep fighting was the same as it felt at all the levels basketball-wise. Last few days it felt a little strange. You know, the parade was incredible, like, to go through and you know, just funny things like, right after the game, I'm getting interviewed by Kevin McHale and Isaiah Thomas, and those are guys I watched as a kid growing up, you know, like heroes of mine winning NBA titles and I don't know, coming on your show. It wasn't long ago when I was listening to you every day driving to work, you know, when I was coaching in Iowa or whatever. So It's pretty interesting.
My man, that's great. I appreciate you saying that. It's really interesting. You know, and when you look at the parade, you talked about the energy of the parade. I mean, there's never been any doubt, Nick, about the passion of the fans in Toronto. It is such an insanely supportive fan base. What was it like then to bring them a world championship and to see them experience the level of joy that they're experiencing even right now?
Well, it was great. I mean, the parade obviously was... you know, just a sea of people, and at times the cheering was deafening, you know, just driving down the street and that. So it was really a wild experience to be in the middle of it. But it was neat to see kind of the Canadian pride and the city of Toronto pride grow as the series kind of clicked off and went further, and you could just sense it. And I say this, and I may be totally off base here, but when we had game one and every single person in the crowd sang "O Canada" at the top of their lungs, you could almost look down and see the Warriors coaches and players like, holy moly, you know, we've been to five straight finals and we've never experienced anything like this.
Wow. Nick Nurse joining us. I think there is something to that. From the outside looking in, I could see where you'd say that. Now, you've got the joy, Nick, that the fans feel, but then you've got the joy that the players feel. For instance, knowing what Kyle Lowry has been through over the years and then what he meant to your team both on the floor and off it this year, how hard this guy battles, how he brings it, how good did it feel for you to see him win that ring?
Yeah, it was amazing, Jim. I think, boy, you hit it all right on the head. He played so great during the playoffs, and he didn't always have the greatest playoff runs, and almost played with a level of frustration at times, and he just wasn't that guy this year. He just led, and some nights he'd score, some nights he wouldn't, and the nights he wouldn't, he would still impact the games in 20 other ways, and some nights he knew we needed to get off to a fast start, and he'd come out and get us going. And I don't know, he was just so good, and it was great to see him reach the top of, you know, his profession with that championship. He was absolutely a joy to coach, and I say this all the time about it, I've never seen anybody play harder than that guy, and that's a hell of a – I can't give a guy a bigger compliment than that.
That's extremely high praise. Nick Nurse joining us, head coach of the Raptors. You know, Nick, I could ask you about any number of your guys. I'm going to pick my spots, but I want to ask you about Marc Gasol. Now, you coached against Pau Gasol way back in the day when you were in Europe. So what was it like when Marc arrived in the trade this season, and what did he bring to your team?
Yeah, Marc is a good player. I actually coached against both of them internationally when they were playing with Spain. And coached against Pau in a club level in the Euro Cup a long time ago, like 20 years ago. But anyway, I think Marc Smart, one of the best passing bigs the game's, you know, seen in a conversation at least for it. And he's tough, and those are good attributes to bring to a team. A veteran guy who's gone deep in the playoffs, and he really kind of changed. I thought our assist numbers went way up, Jim. We started shooting a three. I think we were the number one three-point shooting team in the league after the trade, and that was just all with a little bit more contagious passing, and rhythm was a little better. We were a little more open, and he brought a lot of that stuff.
Nick Nurse joining us. So, Nick, it's been a little less than a year since Kawhi Leonard arrived. What do you know about him and coaching him now that maybe you didn't know when he first arrived?
Well, he has a gear that he can go to in the playoffs, and he even has another competitive gear when the game's on the line. And I don't just mean scoring buckets. And you watch the games, you saw probably some of the rebounds he was pulling down, or offensive rebounds, just willing our team to victory in any way he could. And that was, boy, a competitive drive like that is you have to almost see that up close to know a guy's like that.
And, Nick, that play that led to Kawhi hitting that game-winning shot in Game 7 against the Sixers, is it true that you got that from an old Hubie Brown DVD that you bought in Ames, Iowa? And if so, what did you like about that play?
It is true. It is true. I bought a whole bunch of them when I first came back from England and I was starting to coach in the D-League. I love the play. Hubie, there's a bunch of different options. And I tried it out in the D-League, and I bet you we tied or won about, I don't know, 7 or 8 games in the D-League over the years and always had it tucked away. And that was one option, is to get it to your best player, turning the corner and letting him do his thing.
If you were holding that thing for the right moment, that was the right moment. Now, there's also this famous photo from back when you were playing for Northern Iowa against Wisconsin Green Bay, and future Virginia head coach Tony Bennett was guarding you. You two guys both led teams to championships this year, but that was back when you were facing off in 1989. Do you remember that game?
I don't remember that particular game. I'm not even sure what it's from, but I do know this. Never beat him. I think he won every single game we played. He fouled a lot. He was
right.
He's one of those guys who knows how to foul a lot, not get caught.
That's great.
He was a great player. He was a great player.
Great player and a great coach. Nick, I got to ask you about Fred VanVleet. I mean, he had some really rough moments during the playoffs. He averaged 2 points per game against Philly. He had a total of 10 in the first 3 games against Milwaukee, but you stayed with him. What did you see that made you do that, and how proud are you of the way he fought through all of that and was such a force in the second half of the Milwaukee series and then against Golden State?
Yeah, I think, Jim, like the key game that kind of got him going, or he started playing a lot better, was after he went 1-for-12 in the double overtime win. I know that sounds strange, but he played great. Kyle Lowry fouled out with 6 minutes to go in regulation, and Fred had to play, I don't know what he played, something like 21 straight minutes. I mean, 16 for sure. And he just ran the team. He played great defense, got us into some sets, got the ball where it needed to go. And it was about a day and a half later that in a press conference somebody told me, you know, Fred was 1-for-12. I didn't even know it because I was so happy that he played so good. And I don't know, from then on he started shooting it. I didn't really understand why he wasn't shooting better. He was getting some decent looks, but I figured, you know, he would probably play more to his norm as he got the rhythm of the playoffs down, and that's exactly what happened.
Right, so let me ask you this. This team just has this focus, this toughness in guys like Kawhi and Fred and Serge and Kyle. The list goes on. Where does it come from? I mean, is that something that once these guys get to the NBA, can you still develop that in guys as a coach, or is that something they just have and need to bring them in?
I think a lot of it, you know, they have it, Jim, but I think as a team grows, you know, that's kind of what chemistry is, or part of what chemistry is, you know, that focus and determination and courage and all that stuff grows as a team gets better. And I think our guys did. They were super focused, man. They were locked in film sessions and locked in walkthroughs and locked in before the game when we were making our final preparations. And they were really even keeled. They never panicked when we got down 0-2 or 2-1. Not at all. They just wanted to keep working and keep fighting and keep playing.
Makes me think, going back to game 4 when you had that 3-1 lead and you were coming off the floor, guys didn't even exchange or change expression. So you can see they were focused and they were dedicated. Yep. So then, Nick, finally, what about the draft? It's tomorrow night. Free agency starts in about a week and a half. How much did you get to enjoy this before you had to get back to work?
I'm enjoying it.
Good.
I'm telling
Good.
You, I'm enjoying
you have
it.
To.
I'll be ready to go for the draft tomorrow, but it's been very enjoyable. There's been so many people in the history of coached or played against or went to school with that have reached out, and that's really a lot of the enjoyment.
That's got to be so gratifying. That's got to feel amazing. He was the 2011 D-League Coach of the Year, first year as Raptors head coach, and led them to their first NBA championship ever. Nick, I appreciate you very much. Great to have you on the show. Congratulations, and I appreciate that conversation too.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's an honor to be on your show.
Nick, great to have you on the show. An honor to have you on the show, Nick. Well done. Nick Nurse, that's awesome. What an amazing journey he's had. What a great coach, and what a great win. 1-800-636-8686. Glad we could do that. It kind of blows me away where he says, God, it's just great to be here, Jim. I can remember listening to you when I was in Iowa. Yeah, now he's got guys like Isaiah Thomas and Kevin McHale, much less me, saying, hey, can we get 5 minutes of your time, coach? Can we talk to you, coach? And he remembers everything. Great team, great coach. All right, when we come back, I'm going to look for Bryson DeChambeau. I want to see if I can get an update on him. Also, They found Rod Smart, which is good news. I want to finish the thought on how you can participate on Friday without calling the show. All of that's still ahead. Don't go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Also, speaking of content, Hefty is pushing out content on social. He sounds Hefty. Like Mark in Chicago or some of you clones telling stories that would be fitting for Najee. All right, stay tuned. All of that's still ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Well, I'm here. I'm here, all right. I'm here, and I haven't mentioned the Smack-Off in about 4 minutes. Smack-Off 25 brought to you by Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats. Man, I am a funny guy. $50 if you make it on air on Friday as a caller towards the purchase of tickets on VividSeats.com or the Vivid Seats app. From the biggest concerts to the best games of the summer, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the Vivid Seats app or go to VividSeats.com. So again, I mentioned yesterday, I was asking you both on air and on Twitter, what are you doing to set Friday up? What does your Friday look like? Did you take the day off? Are you watching on the simulcast? Are you listening on the radio? Are you going to sneak a live stream at the Office Cube? What are you doing? How are you doing it? Right now, I want to specifically talk about the 9 different watch parties which are happening all over the country and how you can actually be on TV this Friday if you're at one of the events. Check this out. This is important. Like, I'm literally offering you an opportunity but asking for your help. If you attend a watch party on Friday, CBS Sports Network wants you to roll some video on your phone and then post it to your Instagram account and use the hashtag SmackOff. Our team on the TV side in New York is going to be looking for videos from the watch parties and show them all show long. They'll be finding them through the SmackOff hashtag. So you've got to hashtag it SmackOff. Make sure your account is not set to private so they can pull your video and flip it for TV. Again, it's pretty important. Make sure that your Instagram account Friday is not on private or we won't see your video. Post the videos early. Post them often because we'll be looking to get them on TV to help set the scene. So if you're going to a watch party, make sure you turn your phone around on it. Post the videos on Instagram. As for the parties themselves, I know of 9 of them. There might be more. I know of 9 that are going on across the country. In California, Oakland, California, at Fort Greene Sports Bar. In Dana Point, you've got Hennessy's Tavern. Portland, Oregon, at Bloodworks Live Studio. In Tucson, Tap and Bottle. In Lakewood, Colorado, Old 121 Brew House. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Lorelei Inn. In Buffalo, New York, Allen Street Hardware. Auburn, Maine, Craft Brew Underground. And in Bear, Delaware, Buffalo Wild Wings, yo. Love it. Every one of these locations and their addresses and phone numbers have been pinned to the top of my Twitter feed right now. So if you're driving around dangerously digging through your seat cushions for a pen, you don't need to worry about that. I got you. Just go to my page at Jim Rome. It's on Twitter. You'll see all the information. Legally, I do have to tell you, none of these parties are officially affiliated with the jungle. I honestly have no clue about capacity or anything like that. I would suggest you lob the venue a phone call ahead of time and find out for yourself. We have vetted all the locations. We have confirmed that they are throwing watch parties, and I'm pumped up about that, but that's pretty much all I can tell you. I'm not getting paid on this. I'm not making a buck off this. Don't get it twisted. I'm hyping the watch parties because I'm all about clones meeting up and enjoying the show together. But we're not getting paid on this. There's not an affiliation like that. So why the hell would you not want to watch the 25th annual Smack Off on TV with each other? Have a pop responsibly. Take it all in. Like, I pride myself in having some foresight, but if you had told me back in 95 when JT the Brick was getting off scuds on Cal Ripken Jr., that a quarter of a century later, clones would be meeting up from coast to coast to watch it on TV, I probably would have called bullcrap on that. But here we are. Here the bleep we are.
Here we are. Here the f*** we are.
So final reminder, hit up my Twitter feed for all the info on the 9 watch parties. And again, there might be more. Those are the 9 that I know of. Get your friends down to the venues. Instagram some video with the hashtag SmackOff. Set your account to public for the day. Your video could be on TV. As for everybody else, make sure to hit the same hashtag on Twitter on Friday. Every year we try to keep this thing simple. Hashtag SmackOff. No need to throw the number on it. No need to get all fancy with Roman numerals. Just hashtag SmackOff. That's it. Last couple of years, it has trended nationwide on Twitter. I want to see if y'all can do it again. Friday, 2 days until SmackOff 25. I can't wait. Alvy, hit me with that promo one more time.
I don't want to do this. I have to do this. This one is for America. USA!
Shut your punk mouth.
You sociopath.
Pitchy bitch with D-minus smack.
Gimmicky little snitch.
Look me up in the Stucknut take box. Check out my portfolio of dead bodies.
Smack Off 25. Friday, June 21. Remember, the only way to win is to get in.
I'm in the Smack Off and you ain't.
Crack me, Jim. I'll be there.
I mean, you people stink when you wash.
And the prize, $5,000 cash.
And a therapy dog.
This event is not for everybody. In fact, it's for the best of the best.
Bring the entire family circus because I got a clown suit for every last one of them.
We're talking about the upper 1,000.
None of them frighten me, but don't forget about Mona.
He needs to pull his pants up and do something productive in the world, like chew a box of razor blades so he would swallow his own fluids for a change.
Who wants to walk a chef from Richmond?
Even if I did have flesh eating disease, it wouldn't be that surprising. I'd want to eat me too.
When the other cheeses have a pot, American cheese sits home uninvited and eats a whole pack of itself from depression.
If I'm going to pay $100 to watch Bill Mickelson play golf, he damn well better be topless.
I'm Pedro Martinez, you're Don Zimmer, and you better get your decrepit fat ass back in the dugout.
Bro, it's a radio show, it's not Fight Club. Settle down, Junior.
From Redondo Beach to Rwanda, you're welcome.
From getting left back in the fourth grade to filing for bankruptcy for the fourth time.
Were you talking about concussions, or were you imitating them? I mean, Jim didn't know if you should cut to commercial or slide a credit card between your teeth so you didn't swallow your tongue.
Take out the gimmicks, and that call sucked so bad it might have sucked another Southwest passenger out of airplane window. Re-record that, bitch.
It is officially go time. Smack Off 25. 25 is a nice, fat, even number. I might walk off on that one.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Talk that magic.
I want to talk.
Yeah, Bob, I'm flaming.
Radio wallpaper.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown, really?
It's delicious.
Larry Brown, really? All right, so many of those people will be here on Friday. Many of those callers that you heard are bidding for the ultimate prize, $5,000, and even more importantly, well, nothing's more important than the money. Secondarily, winning the 25th silver anniversary Smack Off. That's the one you want. Is it going to be the BIC? Will he tie the all-time record? Is it going to be the Cabla Nation, who I think is going to come in on his own? All right, so the way this is setting up, we have to reschedule Bryson DeChambeau. He's not going to happen next segment. So we will turn that around when we can. But again, that's an opportunity for you. When we return, what that means then is I want to talk about He Hate Me. Rod Smart, they found him. And Hefty. Hefty is pushing out more content. Hefty. He's calling it Fireside with Phil. It's a play on words. Fire. P-H. I-R-E. Fire. Got that coming up too. And your phone calls. Now an update for the bottom of our number. Friday is the big day. Now we're down to one show after this segment. And honestly, I've got no idea what to expect. No idea what to expect. I have no idea what that gimmicky little snitch Lef has up his sleeve this year. I've got no idea what the BIC, the defending champ, is going to do. Really, I have no idea what the all-time champ, the Cabo Nation, is going to do. He made a return to the Smackoff last year, but as part of a tandem call. It was a cameo. I've got no idea if Stevie Carbone's going to call. Then the old school, like Ian Frady. Not sure where he's at. I don't know. We're going to find out, though, on Friday. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. There was a period of time on the program where, and this goes way, way back, before network TV started putting on all those whack talent shows, people were calling the show a parodies, and it got out of control and was not good for the show. And then we were left with two, just two. Parody Larry, still not good for the show. And then you got John and Little Rock. And sometimes his songs are great. Like when they're good, they're great. And when they're bad, they're not. But much like Friday, you never know what you're going to get with John. Like with Parody Larry, I know exactly what I'm going to get. Larry, Parody Larry starting off his parody, which inevitably will be bad, with an even worse take. You know, you're not bad take, Larry. You're Parody Larry. Stick to the bad parody so I can hear a few notes and then run you. John and Little Rock's a little bit different. John and Little Rock has dropped some classic, classic parodies, especially when Alvin produces him up. But again, I never know. Like, I'm all hyped, and I want to get to him, and then he lets me down. But sometimes, he crushes it. I hope this is one of those times. Little Rock, Arkansas. Let's go to John. What's up, John?
What's up, Rome? Thanks for taking the vine. Haven't been able to call in a few weeks, couple of weeks, because the floods knocked out some of the AM towers. And, man, I thought I wasn't going to make it, but the show came back on. But enough about that. I just want smacked. Wrap your sports takes around me, baby. Wrap your sports takes around me, baby. I just want a smack. Call the show, but don't be fake, babe. Call the show, but don't be fake, babe. I just want to smack. I want to smack, to rip two pieces of Canadian bacon off your back. I just want to smack.
All right, John, so you had a golden ticket coming in. You still have it. That's all right. He made me laugh at the very end. Hey, Cal, you can't be feeling good about you after that. Like, you lost yours and he still has his? You got to give it to the guy, man. He sells it. He sells it hard. John in Little Rock. Just having it, though, does not guarantee you'll get on the air. It just means he's in. And you don't get your $50 from Vivid unless you get on the air that day. Download their app. Go to their site. All right, let's go to West Covina. It's out here in SoCal. Parker in West Covina. Parker, what's up? How are you?
What's up, Romy? How you doing, Romy?
Good, man. How you doing? What's up, Parker?
I'm doing fine, man. You know what? It's been a long time, man. I've been hooked up to this program ever since they had your mug out there on Torrance and Western on that big old billboard. Remember that?
Oh, dude, that's old school, dude. Yeah, I remember that. That's old school.
That's old school, man. I mean, Manny and Oxnard used to call that mailman. Remember that, dude?
I do.
Yeah. Hey, check it out, Rome. I'm going to do this, man. You know what? I'm not going to say too much, but, you know, I've been in and out of the system. I got a homie out there in CMC prison. He got out of CMC out there in San Luis Obispo. He's out now. But we're going to do, we're going to have a barbecue at my house. We're going to do some carne asada. We're going to drink some beer. We're going to have you on the big screen. And he has his homemade tattoo. He's going to tattoo my forearm, the city of Los Angeles, while we're listening to the show. He said it's going to take about 3 hours. I'm getting a prison tattoo, and that's all we're going to roll. We're not going to give out too much information because, you know, we don't want no parole officers coming towards our way. But that's the way we roll. And you know what? I hope that Torrance steps up. I mean, Terrence and Sierra Mata steps up and somehow wins this thing. He needs that. That's all I got, Romy. And
my
you
man.
Have a blessed day. Thank you.
You too, Parker. You have a great day, man. Thank you very much. All right, so Parker said he had been in and out of the system. My man, I mean this respectfully. How long were you in the system? Terrence has not called in a long time. He's dropping like Manny and Oxnard and Terrence. But that said, Parker goes way back, way, way back. So he answered the question. I said, what are you doing on Friday? And Parker said, here's what I'm doing. I don't want to give up too much information, but I got a buddy of mine getting out of the system in San Luis Obispo, coming over to my house. We're going to have some beers. We're going to have the big screen up. We're going to barbecue. And did he say that he's going to give his guy, or his guy's going to give him, like, some homemade tat? It's going to take 3 hours, or are you going to listen to the show for 3 hours? Either way, Parker, good to have you back, man. Good to have you back. You check out that show on Friday. Appreciate you calling up. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a long shot. You can have Terrence, but if you're looking for somebody to come out of nowhere and rip that thing from the likes of the BIC or the Cabonation or that gimmicky little snitch or Rich Flores, my money's on Kerwin in Riverside. If not him, Jeff DeTola. If not him, Adam in PB. CeCe in San Diego. Man, that predates even you, Alvy. None of you know Adam in PB. How about Albert Kinnebrew, the CPA? Bill from Orange. Ephraim, the legal guardian of the jungle. He was not a caller. Anyway, Hawk's trying to pull some deep, deep pulls. You've got guys like Alvy and the flight deck. I'm dropping names. I'm name-checking people that they've never heard of. I'm talking about people. When I think about the very first callers on this show, Adam and PB, CeCe was a lady clone in San Diego. I mean, these are people that haven't called the show literally in nearly 30 years, but called during the night show, called during the Scrub Saturday show, long before we went national. I mean, like, literally, people, I'm willing to bet right now, there's probably even nobody listening that knows Adam from PB. I haven't talked to Adam from PB in probably 30 years. There was a dude that came to one of our appearances recently, and he came up to me and he said, this was so awesome. He goes, dude, you have no idea who I am. You have no idea who I am. Martin, I'm like, dude, I'm not even kidding you. I've been looking for you for at least 20 years. This guy came to an appearance. What this guy was way, way, way back in the day. I'll tell you how old this is. When I bought my first Apple PowerBook, like when they first dropped, when they came out, like with the advent of computers, this guy worked at like a CompUSA, and he was like my go-to, my guru. I'm like, Martin, damn, dude. I mean, I've thought about you so many millions of times as I've put so much money into Apple products because you were the guy that turned me into a degenerate. So every once in a while, they come back. Now I just need to hear from CeCe. CeCe was the first ever lady clone, and her smack, her rap was as good as any of the guys. Never saw her ever again after the first couple of years. How about Boston Finn? Boston Finn was a guy that used to call the show, was a really effective caller, and came to work, was a member of the XR4TI, and then bounced. He might come back out of nowhere. Bobby in Brooklyn. Bobbo. You got to do it. Do you have any sound of Bobby from Brooklyn? Long before we syndicated even back that far east, back east, Bobby from Brooklyn. Nobody sounded like this guy. Is there a year on this even? 98. I thought I'd go back farther than that.
You know, Jim, it's been 2 long years since I first entered this here jungle of ours. It's been 2 long years since I first coined the phrase that this here jungle is concrete, baby. As concrete and rock hard, just as my streets back in Brooklyn are. And just like that old saying goes, I too know that Romy wasn't built in a day. So from that, I have styled myself. And I have taken my time. And with each and every call that I've made in the past 2 years,
see,
I've been laying
probably, down. Let me jump in there. Probably that doesn't sound like a big deal at all. It's just Bobby from Brooklyn, right? It's a million radio programs coast to coast. You hear that all the time. Back in the day, though, before there was a lot of syndicated product, that was really unusual. This guy came out of nowhere, Bobby from Brooklyn, threatening people, threatening to give people the hands, threatening to break out a baseball bat. That guy, man, Bobby from Brooklyn. Now, to me, the one guy who's not invited that could show up, that has a forever invite that could rip it, is one of my all-time favorite callers. And I have no idea what happened to him. Jim in Fall River. That's the guy that I wait on every single year. That's the guy that I put the bat signal out for every single year. That's the guy that I leave red meat out for. He never has come back. I don't even remember the last time he called. This is the guy we need.
For the love of God, would you networks please curtail the amount of extreme close-ups on one Andrew Pettitte? I watched the playoffs last year. It's like every time this guy started, the camera crew shot the game like it's some kind of David Lynch movie with the camera zoomed 4 inches from Pettitte's nostrils. It's like 36 times in a 7-inning span you hear the announcer remark on the intense stare of Andy. Andy in his zone of concentration. Andy with the eyes of a competitor. No, no, no. Let me help the novice baseball fan that only tunes in for the playoffs, okay? Andy Pettitte pitches with his mouth agape, and he has the eyes of a goat, okay? I give him credit. He's a mean lefty. He's got a wicked sinker. But just because he glares at Posada like he's trying to burn a hole through Jorge's eyebrows with his mind doesn't necessarily mean he's any more focused than the other 8 a-holes wearing pinstripes on the field.
You wonder why I call out that guy every single year. Like, Jim in Fall River, where the hell have you gone? He'll always be invited. Oh, this is cute. Dear Rome. Yeah, that's great, Rome. That's great that your show is big in prison. Too bad I can't get it in L.A. Yeah, that's funny. That's good. Anyway. Ha. Yeah, that's good. That's great. Speaking of L.A., maybe you can't, but this guy can. Matt in L.A. Hey, Matt, what's up?
Romy Rome, hey, from Buffalo, New York to Buena Park to Bangkok. You're welcome. Smack Off 25 is building up with a fever pitch. And much respect to Parker, because, Romy, I can tell you firsthand, I got homies that you get them through their days in the California Penal Code religiously. So thank you for that, my man. It's not a joke when dudes are doing hard time. Sometimes that's all they got in there is the jungle. So your boy Matt in L.A. is going to come in here and try to do like Silk Bra out of nowhere. That's what we're doing, baby, running serious smack. No gimmickry, no nothing. We'll see you Friday. Outro.
Matt in L.A., see you Friday, bro. Hey, on a serious note, for years and years and years, I've gotten letters from people on the inside. People get out and they call the program. I know for a fact, I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I know there are a lot of listeners in the system. I know it because I hear from them. So I know this to be true. I know this is true. Matt confirmed it for me. But I did not need to hear from him. If you were on hold and I didn't get to you, sorry about that. Susan in Sunset Beach. My bad, Susan. Eric in Orlando. I'm not apologizing to you, E. Just to Susan. That's it, man. I'm done. My thanks to Nick Nurse, Raptors head coach. My thanks to Jalen Smith, Cowboys linebacker. My thanks to the XR4TI. My thanks to all of you for listening. Now we are one show away. Hit this thing hard. It's Smack Off Eve. It is now officially Smack Off Eve. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.